Blog Talk Radio.
Good afternoon, everyone, and welcome to the program. My name is Simon Barrett, and I'm joined by a veritable cornucopia of experts from the wilds of Youngstown, Ohio. We have Sam Moffey, author, activist, and bar owner. Sam, welcome.
Oh, Simon, thank you for that wonderful introduction, and I'm looking forward to a great show, and let it rip.
Oh, okay. Before I move on, I'm very concerned about the price of chicken wings. Have they dropped?
Yes. Yes. $11 bucks a case.
Oh, okay. Just for listeners that don't understand the chicken wing story, do you want to give us the quick lowdown?
Well, yeah, it's a lowdown, all right. I think the chicken wing farms are owned by big oil companies, and just like everyone's noticed that their gas prices have been creeping up and up. The price of chicken wings goes up and up, especially during the NFL football season, and it's at its peak during bowl games. Then there's a little drop off, and then when the NFL playoffs begin, the crowning achievement at the Super Bowl, wings are at their highest. And as a matter of fact, my wife Juliet found out the other day. She was listening on a drive to Pittsburgh that BW3s actually had a really bad quarter because of the cost of wings. The price of wings went so high for them that they sold so many of them and they didn't actually make any money off them. So that's what that is. And now they're coming back down to, unlike gas prices, which are going up, the price of wings are coming down and will stay down until NFL training camps open up.
I think that's good for chicken wing consumers. Also joining us today is the always colorful John Perry, the owner of Sunset Protections. John, welcome.
Hey, Simon, good to be with you. Hey, Sammy. Simon, I was glad to hear you were busy this past week with your instructional course on your internet startup programs. I had a question for you. If I were to enroll in your course, would I have a shot at valedictorian?
Oh, John, I could hardly wait. Okay, we seem to be short a couple of people, but I'm sure they'll be joining us shortly. Let's jump right in. I want to start with the Christopher Dorner story. It's over, it's done. You know, he's dead. He managed to, luckily, only kill four people. John, did you suspect that this story would end any other way?
No, I was actually hoping he had taken my advice and capped himself last week, but apparently he wanted to go down in a blaze of glory. I'd like to commend all the agencies involved and the officers for a job very well done in limiting the carnage to, like you say, what couldn't be avoided. But I'm glad to hear they didn't lose any additional officers by trying to make an entry, and they smoked them out. But it was his choice to remain inside the residence, and I guess he ended up taking his own life. And that's what he wanted. So hopefully there won't be any copycats to that, but the way the media is acting, trying to, some people in the media making him out to be some kind of superhero is pretty disgusting to me.
Oh, and I'm in complete agreement with you.
Oh, that's a first.
Okay.
Hell, that's
Sam,
broken over.
Sam, the microphone is yours.
I understand where people who are anti-Chris Dona are coming from. And, John, I know, heck, I think it hits home to you. You're in the LAPD, you're a sheriff, you're in law enforcement, you're in the protection service industry. I can see where some of your, where you're coming from. Absolutely, and I respect that. My son was stationed up there at Plant 51. At one point, they were called in for a little bit of back, way back up duty in case the authorities up there screwed it up. But I kind of look at it from a different angle. I'm not a big believer in trustworthy in any police department at this point. Maybe in the old days, police seemed to be cut from a different cloth and were more out there to protect and to serve as opposed to serve you with a speeding ticket, a DUI, and money-making and situations that they are. As everyone I talk to now has less and less respect for the police department. I have no respect for the police department, my sheriff's department, or anything else, because all they care about is getting as much ticket revenue as they can, and they don't care who they get it from. They don't want to give directions anymore. They don't want to help. They're not the police of the old days, they've become nothing more than tax collectors with badges, and when the hard crime's supposed to be done, they're never around. They don't police like they used to, and this is my opinion, and I'm entitled to it. I just have lost a lot of respect. I think Dorner had some, I read his manifesto. I know a little, I don't know as much about the LAPD as you do, John, and, you're out there and all that, but I know enough about it. I saw Rodney King. I know about the Watts riots. I've read the book The Gangster Squad. The history of the LAPD is notoriously corrupt. I think L.A. Confidential had some truth to it, too, even though it was a movie and a book. Let's face it, there is a lot of corruption in the LAPD. There is a lot of, what else is there? I'm sure, favoritism and this and that, and that's not what you want in your police department, but you got it out there. And I think Dorner, and I can't, the scary thing is that in the 21st century, in the United States of America, I can't trust my government, whether it's a police department, a sheriff's department, or with the official version of things. And that's sad. And Dorner, to me, is the epitome of that. And I think other people aren't saying they want to be copycat. They want to be like Chris Dorner. They weren't rooting for him to kill people. But I think they saw him as an outlet to a, at least I did, an outlet to a government run amok, a government that's not fair, a system that's not fair. He killed people. I think he wrote, there was something he wrote in there about he witnessed so many accounts of cops were wrongfully arresting people and so they could appear in court and they get paid more money or they get paid a stipend or something of that nature. And that's all, and like I said, it goes back to our police department has become a money-making scheme as opposed to protect and to serve. And I think, that's, and I know that's just, I'm being simplistic and this and that, but I'm telling you, that's what other people saw. And when you see that, and Simon, you sent me the email, and I heard the same thing too, burn them alive or burn them to a crisp or something
like
that.
Oh, we're going to be playing that.
Okay, good, all right. And he was gone in 30 seconds, as they say, and they fried him alive. I don't know if he shot himself or I suspect that a sharpshooter took him out because they didn't want this guy on trial. And they didn't want him to become a folk hero or Jesse James or something of that nature. And they took him out. But my one thing, and I talked about it a couple of weeks ago, I think you guys didn't know about the gentleman he tied up in the boat. That did happen. If he was the murdering thug, creep, nasty, fill in the blank, why didn't he kill those other three people last Tuesday?
Okay, Sam. Hold on. I think we have the infamous Peter Haven on the line.
Gentlemen, forgive me. I had a call I had to take, and it ran a little longer, so I apologize. I came in the middle of Sam breaking down the Dorner case, and I thank you very much for that. I'm very sorry. I'm very sorry I was late, but I heard a lot of scathing indictment of the LAPD.
Okay, and Actually, I think we need to play an audio clip. I managed to snag this from a live TV broadcast, and the key is the background stuff, not the silly people advertising. Okay, it's only 52 seconds long.
We hear back from our Carter Evans. It sounds like police officials were trying to move Carter out of the area into a safer area. We do know that authorities were searching for a man in a Dodge pickup truck. Police officers, understandably, upset.
Now, you know, it's easy to take things out of context, and it's easy to misunderstand what people are saying. But boy, that did sound like, you know, burn that effing house down. Burn that MFing person down. What do you guys make of that?
Well, I had trouble hearing exactly what was being referred to, but you know, we've had several incidents like similar to this in terms of police allegedly being angry, and I remember the Rodney King incident, and I remember also we had a terrible bank shooting here in Van Nuys many years ago, about 10 or 15 years ago, and the bank robbers had they were loaded to the teeth with military weapons, semi-automatic weapons, and they took control of a bank, and then they just had a massive shootout. And at the end of this massive shootout,
wasn't that the situation where they were wearing full body suits?
Yeah, they were really like a paramilitary force, and they were wearing body suits, and I think they were using armor-piercing bullets, and they killed several cops that day. And there was some footage afterwards of some of these guys being shot, and then they were being, you know, manhandled as they were thrown onto hospital gurneys or things like that. And, you know, all I can say is the police are human beings, too. And if you shoot at them, if you lead them on a wild automobile chase that lasts for several hours and puts life and limb in jeopardy, if you kill one of their own, they're going to get angry. So, you know, I don't begrudge the. I don't like to see it, of course, but they're human beings, and they're going to get angry in these kinds of things. I think anybody would, any of us would. Now, the one thing I want to say about Dorner, I know a lot of people have a lot of criticism of law enforcement, and they have a lot of criticism of the LAPD, and they don't embrace or condone at all what Dorner did, but the one thing I like to remind everybody is Dorner went out and he shot one of these guys' daughter and her fiance. At least that's what he's accused of doing. And you know, it's one thing to take the war to the entity that you have a war with. It's another thing entirely when you start killing children of these people because you're mad about something. So I don't think anybody condones what Dorner did, but I understand a lot of people are legitimately upset about the police and they have concerns and things, but it's tough to get confused sometimes. Dorner was not a good guy, in my opinion. And, you know, you're shooting the 28-year-old daughter of a detective. That says something pretty bad about you.
Oh, I think it's just despicable. I mean, I couldn't even imagine, you know, that situation. John, it was grungy audio, and you have to listen to it real carefully. But were the police just talking in, you know, police speak?
Well, Simon, I'm not an audio enhancement specialist, so I couldn't decipher any of it. I couldn't. It was all unintelligible to me. A lot like your commentary, actually.
Well, there goes the love fest from the beginning of Simon agreeing
well,
with you.
Right. Well, that's good. That
will teach me to be nice to John.
But, Simon, I would like to say Sam has a lot of repressed antipathy, and I think it is reflective in the population at large, because police officers are the accessible arm of authority, and you can't take your anger out on your representative or agency. So I think a lot of times we're seen as representative of the establishment, even though I don't believe that's the case. And we're easy targets. And I'd like to say, for people saying they fried them, they had to flush them out of that location. Now, I would not be willing to send in a SWAT team to do it and risk lives, additional lives, as one way of doing it. He could have come out. He chose not to. And apparently he took his own life. Best case scenario in my eyes. And I'd also like to say, Simon, think if you were there, he shot two officers outside that cabin. And one of them ended up dying. So is there going to be anger? You see people you know shot and killed? Yeah, of course. Like Peter said,
John, wait a minute. Why are the authorities always put on a fucking pedestal, pardon my language, when it comes to shooting? I've seen them kill people in Youngstown, Ohio, and then literally shoot at people and kill them, and yet we're not allowed to, we the people, we're not allowed to go after them.
Well, Dorner sure did,
Sam. They've killed people. What?
Dorner sure did.
Dorner may be the new rule of how to fight back at the, and he was one of them. He wasn't a crazed.
You talk about this guy, Dorner. He didn't even have enough training to ride in his own.
Well, they hired him. Why'd they hire him then? I didn't hire him. The people didn't hire him. Why was he hired? And I don't. And if, you know, I don't know if everyone always brings up this young woman who was killed. I don't know if she didn't have anything to do with him being fired. I don't know, you know, did he kill? It's alleged that he, everything's alleged, or this or that. So to me, there's more questions than answers. And
yeah,
gee,
they hired 10,000 people. There's going to be some whack jobs who slip through the cracks.
But it shouldn't be in the year 2013. When you're giving people badges, when you're giving people arrest orders, I've been illegally arrested. I'm in a lawsuit about it. So maybe that's what my anger and frustration is and whatnot, to be cuffed and taken out illegally over something I didn't do, and that I'm going to end up, you know, winning in a case, and it's going to take, you know, money, time, and energy. But I see this more and more. And being a victim of it myself, I certainly can relate to Dorner. I can certainly relate to people in the inner cities who know the system is so stacked against them. They don't even. They go kill the other gang member. They don't want to. They can't trust the police departments. They can't trust the prosecutors. They certainly can't trust the judges. So you know, the system is so stacked against the citizens. They have to take it out. They're going to get the revenge, the vendettas themselves. You know,
Sam, hold on. All right. So you know, you're dealing heroin on a street corner, and someone steals your heroin. So you know what you should do is call the cops.
Why would you? No one calls. The cops are worthless. They are. I hate to say it, guys. They're worthless. The tax collectors with badges. They don't respond like they used to. The police that I grew up with, who would gladly give you directions, who would help out, who patrolled, who were happy to patrol, who did things, who wanted to solve crimes. You know, I mean, literally the Efflin Zimbalist Jr. FBI or Adam 12 or whatever you want to say. That you know, or Jack Webb. They did exist. The departments existed like that. They don't exist anymore. They're ripe with corruption. They're all about themselves and getting their pays and their salaries and getting the hell out while they can. It takes them at least in Mahoning County, 3 to 4 to 5 hours to respond to where the neighborhoods are the toughest of the crime. They've done studies here in Ohio, or at least where I am. It takes the cops forever to respond. But boy, when it's coming to something simplistic, they're all, 27 of them show up at once. You know, and I don't know. You know, I can only go by what I see, what I hear, what I deal with in my community, and I think my community is a microorganism for the rest of the police departments out there. I hate to say that. You know, Serpico. Everybody remember that? The corruption in New York, the continued corruption of the police department, the continued corruption. Or better yet, my favorite are the cops. The cop had said in a deposition against me, well, he swore to uphold the law and do all that sort of stuff and protect and to serve and all that. Yet a politician said, you have to get me. He sworn that. So why would he break the law to serve his master? Aren't the people the masters in this world, in this democracy of ours? Or is it the politician who this guy has to get in good with because he's going to give them raises, he's going to give them put them on a easy beat or this or that? And that's what it's come down to. And I know I'm biased because of what's happened to me, but I've also talked to hundreds of other people who have been different sort of victims for our wonderful police departments. And I say that very tongue-in-cheek and sarcastic. They have to earn their respect again. John, you brought up a great point. Why are people pissed off at them? Yeah, we see them all the time. And we see them doing stuff like busting people because they've got driving without the little inspection certificate. Ah, another $300 for the state instead of giving people warning. Whatever happened to that? Whatever happened to that? When did the cops become a revenue stream to the government?
Okay. Sam, you're obviously fired up.
Well, when it comes to that, I am. So I relate to Dorner, and I know why they killed him, because they didn't want to give him a soapbox to stand on, because he would have got a good lawyer like Peter Haven to represent him, and he would have got the truth out. And maybe he was screwed. And maybe he was screwed.
Okay. Sam, you already did the segue. Peter, got to ask your opinion.
Well, first of all, I just want to thank Sam very much.
Remember, Peter, I learned from you last week. There's a shortage of legal services in California.
That's right. Everybody better start stockpiling because there's an imminent drought shortage of legal services coming up. And I'm discounting my rate to help people stockpile.
Okay, and what is your contact information? Havenlaw.com.
Havenlaw, the worst website of any lawyer out there, and as I said, I'm in the process of changing it. But I designed that website myself, and I obviously didn't know what the heck I was doing. There's obviously. Sam's had a lot of personal experience with this, and he feels very passionate about it. And to a certain extent, he's obviously he's got a lot of justifiable feelings of frustration and anger. And he sees it apparently where he is, and he's exposed to it. And I personally don't see it so much because I'm not usually directly involved in it. There's a side to people's beliefs out there regarding law enforcement, and people are obviously angry, and they've been angry for a long time. I don't think all of it's fair, but I think perhaps some of it is. But I don't know if it's any different than any walk of life. People always say, oh, lawyers are corrupt, or politicians are corrupt, or cops are corrupt, or the acting business is corrupt. And I say to them, I got news for you. There's corruption everywhere. There's corruption everywhere, and a certain incidence of it exists everywhere. And but sometimes it's more visible in certain places than others. And lawyers are one area where corruption becomes very visible. Politics are another. And I'm afraid if there's anything that's ever done improperly in connection with law enforcement, it tends to get played out more publicly. So I don't know if the incidence is greater. I just think there's a greater perception of it.
John, you have many years of experience under your belt.
It never did my career any good, but go ahead.
And do you feel that the press are being unfair?
Oh, it's just sensational. I'd like to address a couple things Sam said. I am vaguely familiar with this case, and I think he has legitimate grievance. But that's not the point. Let me give you a personal story. I probably wrote less than 100 tickets my whole career because I didn't believe in adding to the working people's grief. Life's hard enough to get through.
Oh, nah, you were just too damn lazy to get your pen out.
No, truthfully, Simon, I joined on to take people to jail. That's what I thought a cop should do, and I wasn't into adding grief to people's lives. Unless they
John,
needed to be rescued.
John, I was joking.
Oh, that's all right, Simon. Anyway, a brief story. I had a captain counsel me, who actually I get along a lot better with since I retired. But he called me in and he said, you're just not writing enough tickets, and you better start writing some. And I said, no, I'm not going to do it. I don't believe in it. And he said, well, look at it like this, John. You like sports. I'm the coach. You're the player. You might think you're the best wide receiver in the game, but I'm telling you to block. You're going to be a lineman, and you're going to block and write some tickets. Just write a couple. I said, well, if you're telling me that, Captain, that shows me you're a poor coach, you're mismanaging your personnel and not utilizing it to its utmost productivity. And he said, well, I don't really care. I'm the captain. This is what you're going to do. And I said, you got a lot of guys at this station who will go up to the plate, they'll get hit by the pitch, they'll bunt to move the runner over, do what they need to do for the team. I'm not one of them. You don't ask Mark McGuire to go up to the plate and move the runner over. And, of course, he said, you're no Mark McGuire, and I always disagreed with that.
You think stoic?
My point is, cops don't want to do this. They're directed to. By the city. The city will say, Sam's absolutely right. You need to justify our allocation for these cars, and you better produce some revenue. And they're directed to by the city, Sam. It's not the cops who enjoy writing tickets.
Okay, then every cop could resign. Okay, but why would you? You're supposed to protect these people. That's
well, Sam, I stood up for myself because
John, I have no doubt that
in the penal code to have a quota, but. A lot of guys will, like you say, they want a good schedule, they want to get promoted. And let me say this, Simon, and then I'll let Sam vent. To quote one of your literary favorites as well as mine, George Smiley, my time on the department, I've seen good men and women go to the wall and the incompetents get promoted with dazzling regularity. That's just bureaucracy.
Oh, indeed. Okay, Sam, I'm sure you want to vent.
Oh, sure. you can bet on that one. John's an honest man, okay? So he's an honest cop, and he's being told, hey, you got to write tickets. Hey, I don't write tickets. I want to go save babies from, I want to go say children from being abused.
No, I wanted to take people to jail.
Right. You want to take the, you want to go after real bad guys.
Yeah.
Okay. And they said, well, that's okay, but we got to make some money on the side here, you know. And
that's
and,
more important. You're right.
Right. Okay. And that to me is that's terrible because there are a lot of, it's not like there's no bad guys out there. You know, it's just that they're out there. There's more than we ever care to admit, especially when I think it comes to what I've become much more aware of in my community is the amount of sexual predators out there. There's just a lot more than I ever thought existed, but yet in my community, the focus is on get the drunk driver. But there's that, we don't even have a department for monitoring these sexual offenders and deviants and this and that. And there's a lot more because you can go to a website and they have to register and you click on. It's like, oh, I can't believe it. It's just amazing to me. And,
do you really think these officers want to go out and write tickets?
What kind of tickets
are we talking about? What kind of tickets are we talking about? I'm just curious.
Oh, speeding tickets, a non-seatbelt ticket. You guys in California, you have to have your plates inspected every year, make for a new.
We got that. We also got they'll ticket you for talking on the cell phone the wrong way.
Okay, stuff like that. So anything from soup to nuts that they can try to nail you for, they will.
Hey, but
I
don't see anything wrong with
any of those deals.
I mean, it's important to wear seatbelts. I mean, seatbelts save lives.
Oh, I'm not disagreeing with you. Well, I disagree with you. I don't think the government should tell you to have to wear seatbelts and you have to pay a ticket. You should do it out of common sense and smartness and all that. Once the assault on civil liberties began in this country, it started in Massachusetts when they were the first state to require people to wear seatbelts. And boy, did the state highway patrol have orgasms over that one. Okay, then it was overturned by a vote of the people. And then they did an end around the vote of the people, and they made it mandatory. I was living at that state at the time. I just got out of college. And I remember a talk radio host, he was the Simon Barrett of his day from WGBH, stood up, and he kind of led the revolt against the seatbelt. Not that he was for seatbelt wearing. He just didn't want the government telling us to wear it. And he warned. I can remember. He said, he got on his show, and he said, this is just the beginning. If you keep giving the state, whatever it should be, whatever that state should be, as long as they come to you and say, hey, this is for your own protection, you actually give, you, I forget what Ben Franklin's quote was, that anybody who gives up liberty and for security has neither. And I'm paraphrasing or something of that nature, but there was a lot of truth to that. And what happens out of it, out of the seatbelt, and I'm all for seatbelt use, but I will tell you something interesting. I met when my parents, when they grew up, there were no seatbelts in the cars. They were in the 80s and 90s. They still sometimes forget to click on, okay, because they grew up, you know, they didn't have them. They didn't have to. My mother, you know, and she should wear a seatbelt, believe me, she's a terrible driver. Probably shouldn't even be driving in her age, but she is. And she's been ticketed without a seatbelt. And you would think that the police officer would say, and she lives in Manhasset in Long Island, which is probably like California. They are obsessed with writing tickets for anything they can for get as much revenue. And you would think the police officer would say, you know, you're 85 years old, please wear your seatbelt. You know, it's important to you. It's a lifesaver for yourself. No, get the ticket out, $150, boom. And at least we forget the incestuous relationship between the police department writing tickets and our insurance companies writing higher premiums for us.
Right. I think you've hit it right on the button. I mean, create laws, and the insurance companies can increase their premiums. I don't know what to say.
I mean, but John, I used to think that there were officers out there who didn't, okay, who said they didn't want to write tickets and would tell their office, their superior authority, hey, go stick it, all right, and not, because they were such exemplary police officers, there was nothing they could do to them. And I bet you're one of them, and I'm sure you guys were you're the exceptions, not the rules. And my son, being 26, being in the military, with a lot of people he served with in Afghanistan and Iraq, a lot of them ex-police officers, current law enforcement and whatnot, was amazed at what these guys would tell them, what they do and what they don't do. Or the great police officers who love to stop young fair maidens for speeding and get a you-know-what out of it. And that happens, too. And, it goes on and on, and I think it's become, because they have badges in today's society, we're all scared, because a lot of us don't have a Peter Haven as a lawyer to defend us, or some people don't have the money because it costs a lot of money in the legal system. I'm sure California is 10 times what it is in Ohio, but once they get their clutches into you, it's a scary thing. It's a scary thing financially and whatnot, what they can say you did, and you have to be able to defend yourself. And the cops know that, and they can, and I believe they're out there to protect and to serve themselves, and the little fiefdoms and the little systems of the government that is they don't have to answer to anybody unless they screw up so bad, they can play in they make the rules, they play by it, and they do whatever they want to do.
Peter, I have to hand the microphone over to you, and I'm sorry my voice is breaking up. I've spent 3 days with a horrible cold, but
I just have to say, as we've been talking, I've been thinking about the fact that I'm about to bring a lawsuit, and the lawsuit that I'm about to bring involves. And I'm trying to figure out who's going to be more happy or unhappy about this, is Sam or John. But I have to bring a lawsuit because I have a client who was arrested for having a lot of, among other things, having a lot of firearms. And it turns out that he legitimately owns all of these firearms, and he's got a lot of them. And the cops arrested him, and it was determined that he was entitled to have his firearms back, and they're not giving them back. And so we have to file a lawsuit about that. And that's what I've been thinking about as John and Sam have been talking, because I'm trying to think about who's going to be more angered about this, the fact that a legitimate gun owner has all his guns confiscated by the LAPD, or the LAPD is up to their no good usual nonsense. I keep going back to my point. I mean, unfortunately, I find there's a certain level of corruption everywhere. And I think that when people have a lot of power, that tends to make them susceptible to abuse. I personally don't have a problem with cops writing tickets. I have a problem with cops writing tickets if there's no actual offense. That's a real problem for me. But if there's a law in place that says, we're supposed to do X, Y, or Z, and you don't, I don't have a problem with cops writing tickets for things like that. And I understand that part of the, the really meaty stuff of law enforcement, part of it also deals with doing this more mundane stuff.
Okay, Peter, I have to ask you, how many guns are we talking about? I'm not looking for specifics here.
It's a lot.
More than two?
More than two. It's a lot. He's got a lot of guns, and they're, some of them are assault weapons. He's got a lot of guns. And what can I say? That's who he is, and right now he's the aggrieved party, and it's a lot of firearms, and I don't blame the police for not wanting to give them back, but they're supposed to give them back. They're his property.
Peter, what was the probable cause that they used to?
Well, it's been he was staying at his brother's house and his somebody reported that they thought that somebody was improperly breaking into the brother's home, and the police showed up, and they asked him why he was there, and he said, "I'm here because I'm his brother, and I'm here," and blah blah blah. And they arrested him, notwithstanding that fact, and then they conducted a search incident to arrest, and the weapons were actually stored in an adjoining building, which was separated by a yard, and they nevertheless searched that, even though he wasn't physically in there at the time, and that's where they found all of his guns. And this guy's a cook. He's a cook, and he's a gun lover, and he's got a lot of guns. And you know, there's some serious weaponry in there, but it's you know, it's under the law. They're his.
Wow, I got to ask you, John.
Yeah.
What are your thoughts on this story?
Well, before I reach a conclusion, Peter, were these assault weapons?
You know, I believe some of them were.
Okay, it's nice to see you don't let your personal feelings get in the way of personal discretion. I admire that.
As we were talking, I was thinking I might have to, you know, work with John as a consultant on this one because, you know, he obviously knows more about this stuff than I do. But, you know, I believe in the law. I believe in the law.
I thought you would be cheering on the police for confiscating assault weapons. But.
No, there is a part of me that thinks, you know, I understand why the cops aren't giving them back. You know, but you know, the law is the law. They got to give them back. I mean, I'm not. It is what it is.
Let me give you my quick take. Horrible arrest. Completely disagree with it. It's pretty standard, Peter, that even if a person's arrested with a firearm and acquitted, the judge will order the firearm destroyed. So, yeah, it's standard for the attorney to file a motion to return the gun, but the DA is going to fight it, and most judges will end up destroying the weapon anyway.
Hmm.
Weapon, well, in this case.
That's good to hear. I probably will be talking with you more about this case.
But I think
you
got a great case. That's just the kind of thing I don't agree with. That guy's going on a fishing expedition when your client sounds like the victim.
Well, in this case, he clearly is. I mean, he's clearly the victim.
I mean, yeah, if it was the burglar, absolutely. But, yeah, the poor guy is the victim of a burglary, and the police are going through his house looking for his guns. That's the kind of government encroachment where I might agree with Sam, but I'm not going to indict all police officers, unlike Sam.
I haven't indicted all of them, close to them, most of them, not all of them.
Just the bad ones.
Yeah,
right,
and I think, John, I think it's getting worse and worse. I don't think these are your dad's police departments. My father's police department, nor my father's politicians, nor my father's this anymore. It's a different breed.
Hey, Sam,
and
it's going to get worse.
I agree with you, John.
If 7-Eleven sells a 16-ounce Big Gulp, they're going to get a ticket. Whose fault is that, the police or Bloomberg?
No, I do think there comes a time when people have to stand up against these overreaching politicians and overreaching laws. Who best to do it than the ones who are stuck to enforce it and to say, hey, no, guys, you've overstepped your boundaries here. Because we're not gonna. John, you brought up a great point. I don't want to add to the woes of the little guy. I mean, I love that philosophy. I want to put that on your tombstone. You never added to the woes. That's a fabulous philosophy of life when you're in somebody who's in authority.
But Sam, you're always going to find people who are willing to go along to get along. That's just life.
And that's scary. And that's a scary thing because those people have badges and guns and this and that. So then I guess the only way to fight back is to say, well, there's going to be more and more people saying, oh, yeah, I'm willing to die for my cause. And they're going to fight back. I think that's what's happening. People
Sam,
are
that's
frustrated.
Easy to say. But what if you got a wife and a family to support?
Okay. All right, I'm going to jump in. I saw an interview earlier today. It was with John Howard, who is the ex-prime minister of Australia. They had a terrible incident in the early 90s. I think more than 30 people, maybe 35 people, lost their lives because some whack job had an automatic weapon. Somehow, he managed to squish through legislation banning the guns, and it was confiscation process. Guess what? Gun homicides in Australia dropped by 50%.
Huh. Yeah.
So, hey, Simon, let me ask you, isn't Australia the only country that's a continent in itself?
That may be true. I lived in Australia for a year, and it is a separate continent unto itself, and I think you're probably right, John. It is the only one.
Probably difficult to smuggle guns in there, unlike this country.
Well, it may be more difficult, but I don't put it past enterprising smugglers of anything to be deterred by just about anything in the world today. I think that Simon's point is that when you restrict the access of certain types of weapons to the general population, you have a reduction in violent crime with those kinds of weapons, and I think it's hard to argue with that point. You yourself said a few minutes ago that a few nut jobs are going to get by the screening process of the LAPD, and I agree with you. It's impossible to find out and ferret out the bad eggs in advance because it's just too hard to do.
Well,
so
Peter, my point is it's a lot easier to keep anything coming in to Australia than the U.S. We can't even keep out people.
Well, what the Australian?
Oh, John.
Okay.
You're drifting again.
Oh,
wait.
I'm going
to come to John's
practical
defense here. John, I'm coming to your defense. The cavalry's riding in, okay?
Wait a minute. I hear it.
Yes.
How do you explain,
gentlemen, Simon and Peter, how do you explain Chicago then? I understand what you're saying about Australia.
What I hear you saying about Chicago is this, and I don't have anything verifiable to corroborate any of this, but what I keep hearing people say about Chicago, well, Chicago has the strictest gun laws around, and it's got the highest rate of violence. Now, I don't know if that's true or not, but all I can tell you is if it's got that much violence with tight gun control laws, I shudder to think how much violence it would have without those laws. That's what my inclination is.
It wouldn't be as violent, Peter.
Pardon me?
It wouldn't be as violent because there's nothing a criminal fears more than an armed citizenry. It would actually cut down on the violence.
God! Did I hear that right?
Yeah, and you guys, all you have to do is look up Chicago and Google it. You say you're not familiar with it. It's all over the Internet. 500 murders last year.
They're so desperate. This is how stupid Chicago is. You know who the public enemy number one is?
Yeah, I saw some.
You
want
to laugh? What the
guy in Mexico?
Government. Yeah, an alleged drug kingpin in Mexico.
Yeah.
I mean, because he's the one killing all these people. You know, no, it's poverty. It's a whole cycle of thing that's killing them. And you got these gangs shooting each other, like I said earlier, because the cops don't do their job and the courts don't do their job. And the cops, and so you've got people in Chicago who happen to be African-Americans acting like Italians and Irish and Jews did in the 1920s, fighting over drug turf, money. It's about money. Legalize the damn drugs. Get the profit out of it. That's the easiest thing. You want to end all this stuff? That's number one. Number two, the cops aren't, you know, you got these gangs, they shoot each other. I've seen it around here. Why? One is for money. The second is because they know that they're not going to get justice. Justice is not blind when it comes to these inner city killings. It's eyes are wide open, and it's not focused, and it's saying, we're not going to help the poor, underprivileged, poverty-stricken gangbangers because they, you know, it's not in our best interest to. I hate to say it, but that's it.
I'm coughing.
And they do have serious. They do have serious gun laws. I think Chicago and New York have the two toughest gun laws in the country.
But also, Sam, I think the unsolved rate is around 90% because no one will testify. If they do, and I've seen it, they'll get killed by the
gangs. Would you testify? Would you do that?
Well,
they'll
get
killed by the gangs. They can't possibly. No, I don't blame them.
No, I don't blame them.
Whoa, hold on, kids. All right. Here's the plan. Let's ban guns. Yeah, the semi-automatic, the fully automatic.
I know
that you're both going to go, oh, you can't do that. That goes against the Second Amendment. But, if it worked in Australia, why couldn't it work here?
There's no doubt in my mind it would work because it was working. Because it's only been in the last 10 years that the general bans on assault weapons have been completely lifted, thanks to some decisions by the United States Supreme Court that I think are crazy. And most notably, one of the crazier Supreme Court justices, Anthony Scalia. But it was working before. The level of these incidents has increased. I don't worry. I worry about being in a public place and having some crazy person walking around with a semi-automatic weapon and going berserk. And in theory, all the guns in the world aren't going to stop that because the vast majority of people, don't have the legal right to carry guns. So every time you walk around in a movie theater or a shopping mall or a school, you know, you're basically at the whim of madness when you combine, you know, mentally ill people with assault weapons. So, you know, I understand the point on the other side. I understand that people are worried about protecting themselves and defending themselves, and people love their guns, and gosh knows that they're not going anywhere. It just seems to me that on the other end of the spectrum, we have virtually unlimited access to virtually any kind of weaponry that people want to buy with virtually no controls or safeguards to try to keep those in the hands of responsible people. And that, to me, just seems like a recipe for disaster.
Hey, John.
Okay, I think John would be the best person to rant about that.
Oh, Sam wanted to say something.
I wanted to ask John a question. Dorner was what, 6'2", 270 or something like that?
Yeah,
That's what he was listed at.
Look, he's a big, dude, an offensive lineman.
Yeah.
I think of him as more as a nose tackle, actually. But
okay.
Yeah, go ahead.
I have a 38. If he or someone that size came to my house, I probably wouldn't be able to stop him, would I?
If you hit him in the head, yeah.
Okay,
otherwise,
but
no.
Let's say Simon was my gun instructor, and I'm not a good shot.
He's going to be running on pure adrenaline.
Yeah.
And even if you hit him with a fatal shot, it would probably take about 20 seconds for him to die, unless you hit him in the head.
Yeah, okay, so final, but most likely, I'm not going to bring a guy like that down.
You wouldn't put down anyone with a good adrenaline rush going, even if he was a buck 50.
Okay, with a 38, but with an assault weapon or a pump shotgun, I would, wouldn't I?
Definitely.
Okay.
Yeah.
I'm serious. I'm looking at a serious question. I don't know, because I know I have my
you
wife and
disable,
I.
You would disable, I'm sure.
My wife and I have a handgun, and that's it. And actually, with all this violence that's been going around the country, we've been debating, should we upgrade? Not because I think Obama's going to seize the weapons or this or that. Is, do we need something more serious in case some big giant comes through? And I think everyone's been telling us who we respect opinions who handle guns, especially my oldest son, who's a sniper. He said, Dad, you got to get rid of that pop gun and you got to get something stronger.
Yeah, a rifle or a shotgun would stop him dead in his tracks.
Right. Okay. So Peter.
Even if you hit him in the leg.
Wait a minute. A shotgun. I grew up with shotguns. I grew up with 12 gauge and 20 gauge, 5-shell shotguns.
Mm-hmm.
And I don't consider those to be military assault weapons.
It depends on what cartridge you use. But if you're using double-aught buck, you're going to drop them immediately.
Look, if you hit anybody with a 12-gauge shotgun blast, in my opinion, that conflict is over.
Well, like you're using birdshot or something.
If you hit them at close range.
You don't have a problem with someone owning a shotgun for protection.
In the world we live in today, in the climate that we have today, where guns are so incredibly prevalent, in this world, no, I don't. I have a concern that anybody can just buy a weapon anytime they want, and I wish that we would have if I want to drive a car, I got to go take an exam and pass a little test, and I wish that at least we would require gun ownership to go through some sort of minimal educational or safety safeguards or something. And if I want to drive a car, I've got to be licensed. I've got to be registered. There's insurance or whatnot. I feel that gun ownership should be in some way regulated. Now, I know that scares people and people automatically get upset. No, 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 no. But it's never stopped anybody from owning all the cars they want in the world and driving all they want in the world. The fact that we have some minimal regulations regarding your ability to drive a car. I think a gun is just as much of a deadly weapon. But in short answer to your question, in today's world, no, I don't have a problem with people owning shotguns. I grew up with shotguns, and a few years ago, my mom got rid of them because she just didn't like the idea of having them around, and I actually thought, we should have kept those. But a 5-gauge shotgun, a five-cartridge shotgun is nothing like the kind of weapon that some crazy person could take into a movie theater and just unload on easy targets. If anybody doesn't know, when you got a shotgun, at least the ones I grew up with, you could only get off about 5 rounds, and then you had to reload. And they're not that easy to reload. You got to flip them over and jam the cartridges in there and pump them up and get it back in there, and then you're good to go again. That's a lot of time.
And your shoulder is getting really sore.
Well, it's a big gun, and it has a big blast and a big kick. And, I admit, they were fun when I was a kid growing up to shoot them. We'd shoot them at the ground, shoot them at coffee cans. And let me tell you, I don't know what kind of guys are going to come through your door, but I know that if you hit anybody with a 12-gauge shotgun at close range, they weren't going to keep coming after you, in my opinion.
Right. Well, I mean, it would certainly slow them down.
And some people even saw the barrels off, and then you get those wonderful sawed-off shotguns that everybody seems to love so much. And, I always wanted to do that, and then somebody told me it was dangerous, so I never did. But I wanted to let my dad let me saw off the barrel, but I never did.
Okay, John. I'll let you jump in.
Well, I was going to say, good thing you didn't saw that barrel down, because it's illegal to alter the barrel of a shotgun, Peter.
Well, okay, it's illegal, and I perhaps when I wanted to do that as a kid, I somebody told me that as well. But you know darn well that people do it all the time, and that's part of the problem. You can have all these laws that say thou shalt not saw off your shotgun, and you also know darn well that some people are buying shotguns for the express purpose of cutting off the barrel so they can store them in their glove compartment. And that's just part of the problem. And there's another good example of what you just described. People should know that that's illegal. And one of the purposes of having some sort of minimal instruction or safeguards in connection with the sale of firearms is, okay, you take a 3 or 4 hour course or whatever it is, an hour course, and that's one of the things you learn.
But most gun owners are also enthusiasts, and I don't know if you go to the range, but it's usually packed. There's people training with their weapons because they're responsible owners.
I'm sure that many gun owners are responsible and many gun owners are enthusiasts. I'm sure about that. I'm also sure about that from the very same thing that you guys have been talking about. There's a lot of people out there who are flat out crazy who own guns, who are nuts and own guns, who are criminals and own guns. And they don't just own any kind of gun. They own, all kinds of assault weaponry.
Well, that's my point. I wish you and Simon would be a little practical. You're comparing us to Australia. They're a landlocked nation.
No, that's good. I think I know what your point is on that. Your point is on that, well, yeah, they have to regulate those things because, they have less concern about people smuggling guns into their country. And I just don't believe that. Let me tell you something about Australia. Australia is a massive island, massive. It's huge. And most of it, on the external portions of Australia, most of it is utterly unpopulated. About 70 to 80% of the people live in about three or four cities. They live in Sydney on the east coast. They live in Melbourne on the east coast. They live in up north near Queensland, near what's the town up north in Queensland, Simon? I always forget it. Brisbane?
Yeah.
Brisbane. And they also live in Perth. The rest of the country is a giant waterway that you could sail into with any ship you wanted because there's nobody there. You could park an aircraft carrier on parts of Australia and, satellite imagery might pick it up, but nobody else is going to know. You could come aboard anytime you want, any part of that country you want, with anything you want, and unload, and nobody's going to be there.
Okay, Peter, someone's got to make an effort to get there. And once they do, will it be easy to depart the country? Can they just walk across the border into Mexico?
I think it's very easy with today's air. I think it's very easy for people who make their living on the high seas, pirates or whatnot, to smuggle any kind of firearm they want into Australia. That's my humble opinion. I really do. I think it's easy to come in from some of those Southeast Asian countries, sail down there, and unload weapons. There's all kinds of islands, atolls, and things that are around the coast of Australia. You can camp out there. I mean, it's a big world. It's a big world. Australia is a massive continent, and relatively speaking, they're the size of the United States. They have the population of California.
It's way less than the population of California.
And I was going to say, you left out the capital, Canberra.
Canberra, mate. We call that Canberra.
Right. But, you could smuggle in a huge shipload of guns.
It's got to be terribly difficult to police the waters that surround the entire. You're talking a landmass the size of the continental United States,
right.
and much of it is just uninhabitable.
Right.
So in my opinion, you could just – it's easier, in my opinion. That's my opinion. Now,
Simon, maybe they enacted that law to protect the slaughter of kangaroos and koalas.
you see, this is a fine example of why Republicans just cannot talk sensibly.
Well, what they did in Australia was they basically imposed, as I understand it, a generalized ban on assault weaponry, and they also put an incentive program into place where they encouraged people to sell their guns back to the government, and that's what people did. They bought them back, and they were able to remove from the general population a lot of military type hardware, and there's no doubt in my mind that something like that would have a beneficial effect on the U.S. I know people are going to fight it tooth and nail, and I know that it's a huge battle, and it seems sad to me because You know, we've got too many guns floating around. Just far too many in the hands of too many people who have no business having them.
Right. John, please excuse me, I'm coughing. But
take a sip of water, Simon.
Take a Ricola.
But, you know, the data shows that we're in Australia and we don't want we don't want these assault weapons, and suddenly the stats change. Yeah, that there's a lot less people, you know, dead. How do you deal with that?
Simon, maybe they have more law-abiding citizens there, but as Sam pointed out, it's already against the law to have a handgun in Chicago. It doesn't seem to be deterring anybody. Criminals aren't going to follow the law.
This is crap. You
no,
know
they
it's
will get
crap.
The gun. The one thing everyone forgets here, and we can have all the laws we want in this world, and we have too many of them as far as I'm concerned. I think everyone knows that in the listening audience. But if you outlaw guns, then, and I hate to say it, only outlaws will have guns. I know that's a terrible cliche, but the black market, every time this country's tried to ban something, let's start with prohibition, it's managed to find its way through because of the capitalistic profit motive. If you ban all the guns, Peter and Simon, will you guarantee me that no guns will be in illegally? So I can melt down my gun.
Nobody's talking about banning guns.
No, even but if you ban assault weapons are still going to appear on American crime scenes. They're still going to appear in movies. They're still going to have military people are going to have them. People are going to sell. You'll have rogue military people, rogue cops, selling their assault weapon to the highest bidder because drugs are still illegal, and that's what they need to get them in. That's what you have to tell the property. That's what you have to sell me on. Ban assault weapons and guarantee me that no assault weapons that are only in legal hands, and I say that with quotation marks, are going to find their ways to the bad guys. And that's what I need a guarantee on before I can
support
it.
You're never going to get that guarantee. That guarantee can't be given.
Doesn't that scare you?
Well, you know, what I'm telling you, I've told you what scares me. What scares me is I decide to have a night out on the town, and I go to the local movie theater, and, some crazy joker shows up with a bunch of machine guns he just bought off the Internet. That's
why do you have to be
me.
A crazy person? Why couldn't it be walking,
Because I think that anybody who walks into a movie theater with a bunch of machine guns intent on killing people, even though he may not meet the legal definition of insanity, in my opinion, he's crazy.
Okay, I'm not debating that.
And that, that's a crazy person. And anybody who wants to do that is a crazy person. And we got a lot of mentally ill people out there, and they think about doing things like that. And apparently they think about it more and more. There are people, as we talked about earlier, who they identify with Dorner. And Dorner went on a military rampage. He went Rambo, and he just shot at people.
But he wasn't – I don't think Dorner – and I don't know, you got. I haven't seen anything on him that said he was mentally like the guy. He was the perpetrator in Colorado. I don't think you could compare those. Maybe Dorner does have that in his background.
Dorner's worse. Dorner's
would
worse.
You have wanted Dorner as a customer?
Would I what?
Would you have wanted Dorner as a customer for some wings, and if he didn't like them,
of course. Listen, this is the guy who up until we saw him in the news, I never knew what his name was. So he was probably one of the many bars and restaurants and other places, and made a decent salary as a police officer with the Navy Reservist and spent his money accordingly. I don't think he snapped because there was something wrong with his mental facilities. He snapped. He was pissed off. He was pissed off, and he had training, and he had access to weapons, and he wanted to hurt those people in that. He didn't want to hurt anybody because he let people go. We all know that.
Can you honestly say after you read this man's manifesto that there wasn't something wrong with him?
No, I don't think there was anything wrong with him.
Well, I mean, look, it all depends on how you define what's quote-unquote
wrong. Peter, wait, I want to clarify that. I don't think I've seen the entire manifesto the way it's supposed to be. You know what I mean? I've seen bits and pieces of it have been edited.
Didn't he
CNN.
Say that his favorite presidents were George Bush and Barack Obama? Didn't he talk about how great Tim Tebow was?
Yeah, but so what? What does that make him crazy? I got a lot of people know Tim Tebow.
I think it's a little crazy when you write something called a manifesto and you put it on the internet and you go rattling about all these crazy.
He didn't
topics.
Put it on the internet. Other people did. He
okay,
wrote it
well,
put
maybe,
on his Facebook page.
No, he put it on the internet.
Oh, I thought he put it on his Facebook page. Okay. I thought it went viral after he went do that. You guys know better than I, so I stand that. But again, I want to go back to the assault weapon. Peter, I know you don't want to ban them, but my concern is because it's always been in the American way, the black market. Okay? It's been around for it's been around forever. And people
right.
always manage to smuggle in the bad guys get it. Not the good guys, the bad guys. So
yeah,
how do you stop
right.
that? Because then those killings are still going to take place. And then John's right. Once you've you're going to say, well, we've gotten rid of the assault weapons. A couple smuggled it back in. Weapons are still being used. Now we're going to take another step and get rid of more weapons. And I agree with John on that premise because that's how American government for total control or any government works.
Look, I just don't accept the proposition that there's nothing wrong and we can't do anything to fix it. There's something wrong, okay? All you have to do is look at some of these incidents in the last 2 or 3 years. There's clearly something wrong, and it needs to be dealt with. And I don't accept the response that, nope, that's it. That's collateral damage. You just got to deal with that. I don't accept that. I think reason and the ability to be reasonable and the ability to implement some type of reasonable preventative measures should be implemented. I just don't believe that you throw up your hands and say, no, that's it. Can't do anything about this.
Okay. That's a great question. Let's bounce it off John Perry. I mean, John, you spend your life protecting people. Don't you think it's important to keep people protected?
Well, Simon, if it wasn't, I'd be out of a job, so I have a vested interest in that. I would like to say that I enjoyed Peter last week when he was saying, can't we just be reasonable at the top of his lungs?
Well, yeah, you're right. I was very unreasonably stressing how important it was to be reasonable. But you should listen to the message and not the messenger. Don't be unreasonable.
We have irreconcilable differences, Simon. Sam and I don't think.
No, we do
you
not.
The police can protect people 24/7, and. You guys apparently think 911 is your best option. I don't see it.
And there's a lot of police
I
don't want showing up at my door, by the way.
Yeah, Sam,
no, when
you
I
might get arrested if you call them and they find a gun in your house. Who knows now?
When I listen to people talk about protection, I feel like people are preparing for the zombie apocalypse and that they think there's going to be 8,000 zombies trying to break into their home and they need 26,000 rounds of ammunition. That's what it sounds like you're preparing
for. They will if their welfare checks stop coming.
So you believe in the zombie apocalypse?
I believe if this country goes broke, Peter. Okay, this is what, and I'm if this country, if this $1 trillion debt is not taken care of, and all these crazy things that are going to happen, and people who are dependent on food stamps, dependent on government for their livelihoods, and those checks stop, you're damn straight there'll be a zombie apocalypse.
Yeah, look at Greece, Sam.
That great point, John, a total news blackout by the world on what's really happening in Greece. You have to go to YouTube to see people download how people are living over there because you can't get it on BBC or CNN or even John's favorite, Fox News, because they don't want to scare everybody. But the world's broke, and only certain people are getting some things. And look, when this sequester hits, and it's coming, I think we all agree with that. Maybe that's next Sunday's show. But when that sequester hits, you're going to start seeing a lot of things. They're already talking about furloughing people in government, cutting people who are dependent on government. When they don't get that check, or whatever, and believe me, it's not just the check they get anymore. They get appliances, they get transportation vouchers, they get you name it, they get it. When they can't get that anymore, well, where are they going to go to get it, Peter?
Yeah.
Okay. question for you. Is it going to affect Bill's place?
Yeah.
I mean, they won't have, you know, $2 to buy some chicken wings.
I'm going to tell you, it does affect me. I've said this before. The stupid powers that be in the state of Ohio gave passed a law to allow guns in bars, wherever there was liquor being sold. I mean, how dumb is that? I mean, myself and other people, we wrote letters, we sent emails to our beloved legislators and all that, and they didn't care because I didn't put a check in my envelope. And if I would have put a check in my envelope, it wouldn't have been big enough one for them to go buy themselves three wings at my bar, because I don't believe in that. You know, I'm not going to – I don't have the money to compete with these lobbyists and the big chain restaurants who push this thing through so the gun – the people who have guns can walk into TGIF Fridays and sit down and feel protected. They have their guns on the belt. We want
– Well, you told me before, I think, you have a metal detector, so you don't think that's going on now.
I have a security guard with a wand. It's cost me business, but I tell you, there's been
Let me tell you, that's business you want to lose, Sam. Business you want to lose.
I don't want them coming in, Peter, with a gun.
Yeah, that's crazy.
I don't want that. And some of bars, dude, there's been 6 shootings in this, blessedly no one's been killed, but there's been 6 shoots. There was a killing on New Year's Eve, not in a bar in another city. At a dance floor, they allowed guns, and someone got mad about the spouse was looking at somebody else, and they shot the guy. There's been 5 other killings. Patrons in the state of Ohio have shot the waiter or bartender or whatnot about something in dispute over the bill. How crazy is that?
Well, maybe you're right. Maybe we are about to dawn upon the zombie apocalypse.
I believe in the zombie apocalypse. My wife will tell you this, and my kids. Actually, the zombie apocalypse that I was preparing for, all my kids thought I was crazy until my son was in he lives in New York now, going to grad school, and Hurricane Sandy hit. Then he said, geez, I wish I would have been down at Dad's basement, because in the basement.
Yeah, you got to think about that. It's not just about stockpiling your arsenal. I mean, if the world goes to heck in a handbasket, you got to get underground. So how's your underground doomsday prepping coming along? You got
pretty
a shelter
good.
Or something?
I'm glad
you got
it. I bet that John Kerry has a good underground bunker.
Yeah, John, that raises the question. How's your doomsday prepping coming along? Where are you going to go when the you-know-what?
What is that?
Is there a chopper coming in to take John Perry
away?
Yeah,
there's a black
chopper
coming to get me.
There's a helo coming after John Perry right now. What's going on?
We got a black ops chopper flying over my house.
Okay. Your helo.
You could be on our Holder's drone hit list. Be careful.
I'm sure I am. I'm on a lot of people's hit list, John. I wear my enemies' names proudly because they're bad guys.
Well, it's all about the bunker. All those guns aren't going to help you if you don't have a bunker set up.
Yeah, Peter, not the Hitler bunker, the other bunkers, okay?
Yeah.
But I will. When I have gallons of gasoline that we keep. You know why? It's an emergency.
You got your water stockpiled? You ready for that? Water's important.
Oh, hey, look, when my kids were, for a week, when people were waiting in line to get a couple gallons of gasoline just to drive to work or go to the grocery store, that's when my son said, gee, Dad, you're not so dumb. Well, it's not. And preparing for the zombie apocalypse, I'm also prepared for the weather apocalypse, you know, when the bad weather comes.
It's an apocalypse. You never know what form it's going to take. It could be a nuclear cloud. You could have the North Koreans go crazy and launch a bunch of missiles, and then we all have to... It's the same thing.
When our storms hit, they seem to be stronger, bad, bigger. Power goes out. People, you can't get out.
Saying that the storms are getting stronger. Is that right?
The what?
You said the storms are getting stronger.
I think so.
Yeah, I think there's a good explanation for it too, but nobody wants to hear it.
Global warming.
Absolutely.
I think there's some truth to that.
Environment.
No, I think there's some truth to that. I mean, I'm not. Look, Peter. I think there's some truth. I think having a weapon. I think there should be some gun control. I don't have a problem with that. It's just the flip side is how you keep the bad guys from getting the guns. Want the black market because of the profit in the black market.
Oh, I do apologize, gentlemen.
This conversation is making poor Simon sick over there.
But I have to ask the question, Sam. How would you fix it? What sort of legislation would work
on assault weapons?
Oh, and zombies and everything.
Well, the zombies are going to have zombies have no place to go unless as long as we keep kicking the can down the road of financial ruin in this country, everyone's fine because it'll keep going and going. I'm only saying that's going to happen if, like as John has pointed out, Greece, complete collapse of the financial institution, people's faith in those financial institutions. Look, take out a dollar bill. What does it say on the back of it? Backed by the full faith and credit of the United States of America. Okay? We used to have a gold standard. We don't have that anymore. So it's based on your full faith and credit. The money's worthless if no one has any faith in the government. It's worthless.
Well, you should. If anybody thinks their money is worthless, I'm happy to take it off their hands.
I'm sure you would.
Yeah, right.
I'm sure you would. But it's all backed by that. You know, I know it might sound like one of those crackpots, but I know I'm not. It's just that if you can't get money, and John knows more about this than I do because he has more eloquently writes about it, the amounts of money that people are dependent on, we have more people on food stamps, that's a fact. We have more people dependent on government for their basic living necessities, Section 8 housing, women's infant children, you name it, they've got it, okay? Around here, people are getting the government to pay for put their water on because they can't pay their own water bills. I don't know what that's like in California or in Mississippi, but I know in Ohio that the government programs to help people have heat on, water, appliances, traveling vouchers, a lot of stuff, okay? And I'm not saying that, you know they need it. Everyone needs helping hands. But people have become so dependent on it, if that spigot is turned off for whatever reason, a war in the Middle East, a default on the national debt, whatever it is, those people are going to turn into zombies because they're not going to, you know, these are people who the most favorite person in the country to them is not the top celebrity, it's the mailman on the first of the month, okay? And that's their favorite person. But as long as that stuff comes in, they're fine. The vouchers, the this and the that, I understand that. But when that stops, for whatever reason, maybe it will never stop. And maybe more and more people are going to become dependent, and so be it, and that's what happens. But if that money
okay,
ever gets
turned
off,
the big question is, what's the solution?
Solution is to start is to balance our budget and get our and we've talked to, I'm foreign aid. Why are we sending one country in particular has just gotten 8 F-116 fighters and 200 Abrams tanks? Egypt. Okay, it's a chaotic state. I don't know how much money that cost. I'm sure it's hundreds of millions of dollars. I know that helped employ people in California because I believe that's most of our defense industry manufacturing takes place. I'm sure it takes place in other parts, but I think California has the biggest to lose if that contract goes down. But yet that country is unstable. We've seen it going on. We're giving them tons of money. Wouldn't that money be better spent at home?
No, Sam.
Is that too much to ask for?
You're playing right into my game.
Okay, well, so I think there's a lot of things that could be. I guess the best answer is all the people should fire Washington, hire the four of us. I'll let Manny come on through. And we should run the country. Because we agree to disagree. We would all find compromise, that wonderful C word that used to work in our country, and bring common sense solutions, and that's what's needed.
Hey, Sam, I couldn't enter into a coalition government in good conscience with Simon.
Well, that's okay. You don't need
John,
to do
okay.
it,
we'll
you don't need
you
to do
a,
it in
we'll
good conscience.
You, we'll have to do some horse trading on the side. I'll give you Sam Simone as a your resident as the head of California.
No thanks.
No.
I only want to be in charge of myself.
Okay.
Let me echo what you said, Sam, because I've heard Manny and Simon talk about how the president doesn't have any control over oil prices and commodities. simple economics lesson. Commodities are directly tied to the value of the dollar. When Obama came in, our deficit or our debt was $10 trillion. Now it's $16 trillion. Gas was $1.84. Now it's approaching $4. Gold was $800 an ounce. Now it's $1,600. Bernanke is having the printing presses working overtime now. It's all tied to the value of the dollar. And like you say, Sam, once the world realizes we're not a sustainable currency any longer, then we're going to be in a lot of trouble because we won't be able to print money. That's what happened to Greece. And remember, ask yourself, how do you think Hitler came to power? Their currency was destroyed and valueless. And he restored order. And that's what people are going to look for under a crisis like this, someone to come in, no matter how brutal, to restore order. And that's where your concern is well-founded, Sam.
Thank you, John. I agree.
Sarah Palin?
It could be anybody. Beware the rider on the left who promises law and order, and beware the rider from the right who says the story.
It'll probably be the biggest demagogue who promises the most.
Right.
Ted Nugent.
Guys, history tells us
about
this.
It'll be Ted Nugent. Ted Nugent will take over the world. I'm leaving. When that happens, I'm
leaving.
Ted
Nugent has no aspirations. He just wants to be left alone on his farm in Texas.
Go away. Ted Nugent, he has a mouth bigger than Texas.
It will be a coalition of Ted Nugent and Donald Trump, and they will fight over which one is the president and the vice president, and I know how that one's going to get resolved.
I don't think you'll see any of the aforementioned
Donald will try to fire Nugent, and Nugent will shoot him. So that's the way it'll end.
I think Ted's happy just running his own program. He seems to be enjoying life. God bless him.
Well, he seems angry every time I hear him open his mouth, so I don't know how happy he is.
I don't pay attention to Ted Nugent.
Like you and Simon are trying to confiscate his weapons, yeah.
I don't want to get anywhere near Ted Nugent. I don't even want to see him.
Peter, you and the Twisted Sister, right?
Yeah, sure.
You're like Dee Snider and Twisted Sister.
I'm all over that.
But John is right. You know, history repeats itself. Peter, Simon, you guys are educated. You know that. We don't want to see history repeat itself in a bad way. But we continue to keep going down that path, and it is a scary thing to anybody who pays attention to what the hell's going on around us. I'd like to be blissfully ignorant.
But Sam, how do we change the direction?
You know, Simon, I think it's going to be one of those things that's going to happen in the next 10 years, where it's going to happen because you hit rock bottom. America's been able not to hit rock bottom for many, many reasons. But now there's so many things happening that we're not in control of. We used to be in control of everything. Now we're not. We're not in control of our own country, for crying out loud. We've got, these people fighting over immigrants. You've still got people who fight about abortion. All those sort of things. And, it's like the push-button issue. And everyone's, it seems the powers that be, whether to me on a local level, state, and federal level, are all about amassing the little power games, staying in power, taking care of the select few, their friends, their families, and everybody else they don't give a shit about. And it's almost like that, I go back to history. It's like they're fiddling while Rome burns. And there's a lot of people out there who don't want to see that happen. But, who are we? I'm not going to go run for office. I don't want to go then prostitute myself. And where do you come up with $1 million to run for a lousy county commissioner job? And then as soon as you get in, you got to start playing the game to get around. And that's part of the problem.
Hey, Sam, would you fire the police force?
Would I fire the police force? Yeah, and I'd fire everybody who's a cop right now and get new people in. You know what I'd bring in? I'm biased, of course. Most of my son's friends in the military who have served this country great, I've met many of them, from Afghanistan, Iraq, all different branches of the service. Of course, they can't. Very few of them can get in around here because there's a hiring freeze. But I will tell you one thing, John, and I'm not kissing up to you. The sheriff's department is the best of all the police departments around here. Our county sheriff's department and the sheriffs are a little bit more nicer and friendlier and more proactive than the individual police forces.
Well, that's because of leadership.
Yeah, I mean, I will tell you that they seem to be more just a little bit more what we'd want in our law enforcement. And unfortunately, in the county of Ohio, they really do nothing more than, they're innkeepers for the jail, and they are they do very little traffic stuff, and they serve papers and they deal with that. And they provide security for all the courthouses and everything. You don't very rarely see them out in any in anything big that's happening. They're not allowed to patrol the inner city of Youngstown, where there's a lot of violence because of the turf wars between the two agencies. I don't know if that's like that in California, but out here, the turf wars between these political fiefdoms is mind-boggling.
Gentlemen, I hate to do this. I love a good, fight, a word fight, but we're flat out of time. I'm gonna start with John. Got any final thoughts for us?
Couple things. First, I have a question. Judging by your voice, is the color of your shirt nasal infection green?
No, actually, it's dark blue. I really, really want to start sneezing.
Well, you did a good job persevering. All right, let me just end it with a comment about gun control, since that was the topic today. My feeling is essentially whether it's guns, healthcare, even diet regulation or salt intake or the size of sodas, that the liberals or Democrats, they believe that there can be only one legitimately held belief on an issue. Like Peter was saying, he's not negotiating. He's just telling me the way it should be. A couple weeks ago, Peter, when you were talking about negotiation, that basically there can be only one legitimate view held on an issue. And, of course, that's the liberal view. If you dare to think for yourself or question the accuracy of the argument or belief, you'll be marginalized or vilified. That you don't care about people or any number of things. And the politicians actually believe that they're sparing us the burden of deciding what's best for ourselves as individuals and what makes each individual happy. What makes me happy isn't going to make you guys happy, common sense. I'm the arbiter of my own happiness, and I should decide what makes me happy. And I'll never surrender my free will and thinking to some altruistic liberal Democrat elixir salesman. And I hope
Okay. All right. I'm serious here. I'm running out of time, even on the recording.
All right, Simon. Take care. Love you.
I love you. I mean, okay. Sam.
Simon, I hope you feel better. Thanks for a great. This was such a good show. I thought it lasted like 5 minutes. It was wonderful. Peter, thanks for joining. It was nice to have you not go at John Strode this time. So maybe coming back to being the VOR. John, always a pleasure. I look forward to you and Manny's crazy emails. The listening audience out there is always the winner because they tune in. And I had a great time. And I think the four of us, we moved the needle a little the right direction every time. And maybe we'll have a positive impact out there on fellow man and women and children. That's all we can ask for.
I sure hope so. And Peter.
Well, my good friend John there basically says there's nothing wrong with the world. Don't change it. Don't fix it. Don't do anything. It's absolutely perfect. And every time I have one of these shows with everybody, all I walk away thinking is, oh, my gosh, we have so many problems, and I don't know how we're going to fix any of them. That's all I ever come away thinking.
But oh, Peter, when the zombies come, you're more than welcome at my house.
Yeah, well, I'm going to need a bunker, gentlemen. So whoever's got the best bunker is where I'm going to go hang out.
That's you think you're a smart man, the voice of reason.
but you have to admit it's fun.
it's fun. It's fun. I shudder to think of a world without Snickers and Twinkies, but that may be where we're heading.
Okay, everyone. I am being seriously growled at by the people running the radio station. So next week, this is Simon Barrett, and I want to thank all of my wonderful guests for joining me today. It was a great program. We'll be back next Sunday. Till then, goodbye.